Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. I really appreciate it. Those of you that are subscribers, thank you so much for being a part of what we do. We appreciate it greatly. Thank you for the sweet emails and things that we get about how much you enjoy Agenda Weekly. That means a lot to us and encourages us in a great way, but thank you for that. This week, there are so many things going on, as you know. The FTX scandal, President Trump's going to be running, and just a million different details, but I'm going to try to pull some things together. So stay with me. I've got a lot of important information to share about where we're going, why we're going there, and I want to focus in on three powerful weapons the elites are using to finally eliminate freedom, not only in America, but worldwide. And it's war, education, and elections. And we're going to talk about that today, but a lot going on. I appreciate you. And thanks again for joining me. Before I dig into the open and clear corruption at every level of our government, which is stunning the more you dig into it, I want to cover one letter from you all that I think applies to everyone. I think there'll be something here you can learn and apply to your life. But this is from Julie, and she says this. She's the only Christian in her family, and she's the only surviving child, and her dad is the only surviving parent. And he's in a nursing home in California, and she hasn't been able to see him in a long time, but she's going to go there. And they said, if you want to hug him or touch him in any way, you have to show a certificate of vaccination, which with all that's gone on, that is crazy. So Julie, some of my advice to you and to all of you is you have to stand up against that. Alliance Defending Freedom might be a good place to call, where their lawyers can call that home and let them know they have no authority to tell you to do that or not. But also deeper than that, all of you, I want to encourage you to understand that we need to take care of our families. For the last 6,000 years, that was common practice. But over the last 50, 60 years, because of our affluence, we've all of a sudden taken all the elderly and put them in their own homes because we can afford to do that, and taken all the wisdom of society and removed it from the body of people, which is criminal. But it's also criminal to them that the last 20 years of their life, they're in a place where they have no influence. They have no impact on anyone else, on young people. They need to be around young people constantly. Once you hit 65, 70, you should focus each day of your life trying to be around young people wherever you can and influencing them with all the things you've learned in your life and the truth of what's going on and just what you've, the history you've lived and how it's made a difference. But Julie, I encourage you to get him out of that California home. Move him to New Mexico where you are so you can see him daily if you'd like to. And you can be there to take care of him like he took care of you. We need to stop following the patterns of this world that are so rotten and corrupt in how we do the things that we do. But anyway, that was something that hopefully will benefit all of you. But I wanted to address that since she's making that trip here in the near future. Last week, we dealt with some of the things that showed us the recent election was corrupt to the core. I think something that we need to continually remember and not be sidetracked from is knowing our government, American government, and the institutions in our country are completely, they've all been hijacked and they are corrupt to the core. We're so proud to be an Americans. We're so patriotic. We have to separate that love we have for our country from those that run our country, those that run the institutions of our country, because they are doing nothing but trying to destroy our country as fast as possible. Just this week, FTX, you've all heard about that, what was going on. It was just a Ponzi scheme. Sam Bankman-Fried, he was literally just stealing money in this Ponzi scheme. It wasn't a real business, but our government was involved. the media was involved. The SEC director that's supposed to regulate things like that was involved. They had all been bought off by him. He'd given them millions of dollars. He was even in the White House with Biden, kind of dictating, here's how these type of businesses should be regulated. He, of course, gave about $40 million to Democrat candidates during this election cycle. But on and on it goes. But here's what's going to happen because of this. They're going to use this in a great way to their advantage. They're now going to regulate everything, Bitcoin and everything else, anything that allows us to have money out of their reach, they and wealth out of their reach, they're going to regulate because of this. They knew this thing was a fraud to begin with, and they just made money off of it until it collapsed. But then they knew when it collapses, there's going to be such a great loss. We're going to be able to step up and say, oh, we need to protect the people from businesses like this. And so they're going to regulate and they're going to eliminate cash, you'll see, over the next couple of years. And they're going to just so strangle anything that's an alternative to the Federal Reserve's digital token that'll be coming out. They're testing it right now in America and with some different banks and things to get all the kinks worked out so they can bring it forward. But that's what FTX was all about. But it's rotten. It just shows, again, the agencies that are supposed to regulate that kind of stuff, they were involved in making millions off of it. The media that's supposed to expose those things, they were making millions off of it because he was paying different news agencies a lot of money. And so to give him good coverage, and it's rotten. It's just so rotten. But we need to know that. Ukraine. This week, remember, Russia shot the missile that killed two Poles in Poland. Uh-oh, we better escalate this to World War III. Well, it turned out what? That was a leak from our intelligence agency, and it was a total lie. It was a Ukrainian missile that had gone off course, maybe off course, or maybe purposefully went into Poland. But why did that all happen right at that moment? Because Congress was voting on, should we give $40 billion more to the Ukraine? I mean, that's how rotten this is. Just lying about what's going on at every turn to get what they want. Well, to delve into war for a minute, it is a powerful weapon by the elites. After World War I, they created the League of Nations. World War I was a useless war that just killed tens of millions of boys all over the world and did nothing. It was just instigated by our State Department and Woodrow Wilson, and it was evil. But they said, okay, we're going to use this war to create the League of Nations, so there'll be no more war. Well, of course, every intergovernmental organization that exists to stop war usually is the one responsible for creating wars. Well, that didn't work. Shortly thereafter, World War II started. And so then all the carnage from that, and if you dig into that war, it's nothing like what we've been led to believe, even in our conservative history books. But that war then was supposed to have had enough death, over 100 million dead. Okay, now they're going to be ready for world government through the United Nations. And the United Nations got going, and it has been totally useless to preventing wars. There's been wars going on constantly since then, all over the world. Most of them are not even reported in our media. Unless we're involved in them, we don't even, it doesn't even get coverage on our news, but they've been going nonstop since then. And these groups have not succeeded in stopping war, but have been very successful in manipulating the wars to have the outcome the elites want, to rearrange the chessboard or whatever they need to do. And here's a few key things. The fear of war is a powerful tool to manipulate people. It scares people to death, thinking of war. All during the Cold War, just think how they made us so fearful of nuclear war. We would give them total power, give them all the money they wanted, anything to stop us from being taken over by the Soviets. Well, the second thing it does, it removes governments, these wars they start and stir up, that don't do what the elites say. So some little country that has a leader going, hey, we're not taking the vaccinations, they disappear very quickly. Or we're not going along with the homosexual agenda in our country. Boom, all of a sudden they're gone, they're taken out, they're assassinated, or all of a sudden a war breaks out in their country. That's not an accident. That's all the elites using their power in their global organizations to make sure everyone is doing exactly as they're told. American finances, too, if you study the last 100 years, we finance usually both sides of every single war, which is crazy, but that's what we do. Russia would not exist today without our constant assistance in many areas. So even, oh, Russia's attacking the Ukraine. Russia wouldn't be attacking the Ukraine if we hadn't been propping them up since 1917 in every way possible, feeding them, giving them technology, selling them weapons and everything else, not making them pay back any of their loans to us, and on it goes. Ukraine has been financed by America for decades. I mean, Victoria Nuland and Biden, when he was vice president, they created a coup there, the color revolution in 2014, so they could put their puppet in power. And here's a clip, real quick, of Biden bragging about how he had withheld $1 billion of our taxpayer money that was supposed to help the Ukraine out. He had withheld that because they were investigating his son and all his criminal activity. And he said, if you investigate, and if that prosecutor isn't fired immediately, you won't get this $1 billion. Like, he's in control of giving our money to whoever he wants. Watch this clip.
And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. Said, "Nah," I said, "I'm not going to. We're not going to give you the $1 billion." They said, "You have no authority. You're not the president." The president said, "I said, call him." I said, "I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion." I said, "You're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here." And I think it was 6 hours. I looked. I said, "I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money." Well, son of a bitch, got fired.
The vice president back then, bribing leaders of another country to not investigate the criminal activity of his son. It doesn't get any more rotten than that. Now, Zelensky is hailed as a great hero of democracy in many quarters of the West. His humor and track record as a comedian is often vile, perverted, and pornographic. It is also troubling that Zelensky has banned every political party in his country except his own, and closed down every media outlet except the government's propaganda agency. It is hard to understand how a man who bans free speech and throws journalists and opposition political leaders into prison can be lifted up as a paragon of freedom and democracy. Isn't that funny? That's a summary someone wrote that. It's so important. That's what's going on. And we're supporting that. A guy that's so corrupt, he is banishing anyone that doesn't go along with him. He's just as communistic as Putin is in Russia. But again, there's a reason why we get behind the Ukraine. And the reason why is our political leaders for a decade now have been benefiting from controlling the puppet government there that our State Department put in place. And so it's like a little money laundering scheme for the elites in our country, for the Democrats. Most of the money we send there for weapons, and even CBS had a documentary on this, most of the money we send there, only about 30% goes to actually aid the war going on. The other 70% of the weapons and things we give them is sold, and then the money is taken and they use it for whatever they want to. Zelensky is a very wealthy man now. How did he become wealthy as a comedian that became president of the country? Well, it's corrupt like it always is. We need to get out of the Ukraine completely. We need to get out of NATO, the United Nations, the World Health Organization, and every other world organization that is hurting our ability to do what's best for America. Our founding fathers warned us of this. They said, don't get entangled with any other country. Have good relations with them and a free trade with them if they're a good country, but do not be entangled with any alliances that make you have to do things sometimes that aren't what's best for your country. War is great for the elites, globalists, and the formation of world government. War divides the world up into areas. So like NATO, all these countries are together, and then this alliance, these countries are together, and all these things, it divides it up so people don't look at the world as different countries and nations doing what's best for each individual nation. War keeps the people afraid so they will obey. All you have to do is threaten them with war, and then people are scared to death of that. War causes blind allegiance, and this is a key one. War causes blind allegiance for those who are currently in power. Why is that? Because no one wants to think their boys and girls are dying for nothing. You don't want to pull back the curtain if your sons and daughters are over fighting for something. You want to believe, no, it is a just and noble and true cause. And it hasn't been in 70, 80 years. Not a single thing America has been involved in has been a noble and just cause. And we never pulled back the curtain to look at that because we didn't want to admit the 55,000 boys that died in Vietnam was a total waste of life. They were not there fighting for freedom. They thought they were, so they were honorable in thinking we're going to stand up and stop this communist regime from taking over the country. But that wasn't the reality of it as you dig into it. And so we were willing to sacrifice our children on the altar of political intrigue, as people said about Henry Kissinger back then in the during the war. Something very different that's going on right now is they are doing everything possible to make sure we aren't ready for war. They are preparing us for losing, clearly. They're giving away our weapons, and they're not reordering those weapons. All the billions and billions of dollars we've sent to the Ukraine of weapons, the Biden administration has not placed reorders on those weapons yet. Oil reserves, and just slowly depleting all of our oil reserves. Those oil reserves are for a war situation. In case there was a world war where all of a sudden the transportation of energy wasn't allowed because people would bomb those ships and things, you need your own reserves so you can run the airplanes and tanks and everything that you need to use. Preparedness of our troops. They're purposefully making sure they are not ready for conflict, where they're studying about drag queen hours all this last summer instead of military strategy and the art of war by Sun Tzu and things like that. So you see that they're demoralizing them and deteriorating the ranks. I mean, people are not wanting to sign up anymore. Who wants to go fight for a military that is not interested in winning? Nobody. Because you don't want to just die for no reason. So that's what's happening. That, you know, the diesel shortages, that's all purposeful by our government. The food shortages that are coming, that's all purposeful by our government. They're not doing things you would do when you see, hey, we've got some problems here in the food supply. We need to right now be working toward, you know, solving that problem. They're not. Why is there no education for our children happening? They're not even pretending to teach them reading, writing, arithmetic, and history and science and, you know, everything. They're not even pretending to. It is all indoctrination. That's all signs that they are purposefully working to destroy. They clearly are working full-time to destroy this country. Why? I've answered this before, but it's important to remember because a lot of people don't believe this is all happening purposefully because they don't understand, well, why would they be doing that? But here's why. Because America has to go to implement the Great Reset that ends in world government. I've read articles and books from 80, 90 years ago where they were talking about that. America has got to be brought down so we can have world government. All the people that were into the idea, the elites of world government said, America's got to go for this to happen. So that's why every policy, every agreement, every treaty is always just anti-American to the core because they're trying to collapse us so they can have their paradise. Dr. Peter Hammond, who's been on this show before, and he's a friend of mine, here's a brief description to remember of what's going on right now. The ultimate objective of globalists is the establishment of a single world government. Most of their actions are guided by their objective of creating political, military, and economic conditions favorable to the establishment of such a new world order. All the major innovations in foreign policy since World War II, the establishment of the United Nations, the World Health Organization, World Trade Organization, the IMF, and the World Bank, the establishment of our European Union, and the formation of permanent international military alliances like NATO, have had as their purpose replacing independent nations with world government. Like I was talking about, that's been the objective of everything. That's why you look at it, you go, why is this so anti-American? That's why. Why is it considered evil and racist to love your own country? When you're patriotic and you love your country, now that is evil. Well, it's considered evil by our enemies who are in control of our country, but it's the most wonderful thing you can do for your country is be a positive part of it to help it be the best it can be. But here's another thing that fits into that. So that's some of the ways war is used to further their agenda. But I think it's interesting too, all the programs they've had over the years, those people on the left, the people that are trying to change us from within, they have great propaganda names for every assault they are perpetrating on the people they're trying to control. Starting with FDR, remember his assault on the Constitution? It was called the New Deal. It sounds so harmless and helpful, but it was the first thing because of a crisis that said, okay, we've got to ignore the Constitution for a while because we want to help the people in America. And of course, it just gave government so much power and took away so many of our rights. The Great Purge. Stalin did the same thing. The Great Purge, he overnight executed 650,000 communists were shot, 650,000, because he was afraid they were going to hurt his authority or try to come against him and take his power from him. So that's what he did. Over 1 million went to the Gulag. Okay, that's a leader that is acting like he's trying to help his country. It's the Great Purge. He was going to purge from the Soviet Union everyone that was against them and against the people. But of course, it wasn't that. He was going to eliminate anyone that he thought could be a threat to his power. Then you look at Mao, who's a hero of the left. He had the Great Leap Forward, and we went into that this summer. But 60 to 100 million Chinese people were killed from the Great Leap Forward. What a wonderful sounding thing. And then Lyndon Johnson, LBJ, in the 60s, the Great Society. Isn't it funny how they all use the same terms? The Great Society. It's been 50 years now. We know what's happened from the Great Society. Our government has spent $20 trillion on the Great Society program since then. $20 trillion. And the poverty rate in 1966 was 14.7%. And in 2014, about 50 years later, it was 14.8%. Total control of the black population through enslaving them and entitlements was the real goal. But it was called, no, we're going to make a great society. And it destroyed our society. Just this year, Liz Cheney started a PAC called The Great Task. Wow, she's learning from all the Marxist leaders in world history. What's the great task? She said, working so no one ever questions the result of an election again. That's the stated purpose of The Great Task. Liz Cheney, whose father is a war criminal, Dick Cheney, and then, of course, bringing that right into today. What's today? The Great Reset. It's the same thing playing out. They're acting like it's for this, but it never is. It's for something totally different. What's the goal? The number one goal of the Great Reset? To abolish all private property by 2030. That's their goal. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Well, all it takes is a moment of reflecting on history to go, that goal sounds very familiar. I wonder where it's from. Oh, Karl Marx, what he had, the Communist Manifesto and 10 planks in there. And what was goal number one? The abolition of private property. Oh, isn't that amazing? And the Great Reset's number one goal is the abolition of private property. All the Great Reset is about is working toward implementing world communism and world government that will be communistic. That's it. That's all it is. And they've been so successful in working toward that. If you go through their goals, even on that first one, we still have private property in America, but not like we used to. Even your physical property, there's property tax on that now. And all they have to do, even if you've paid it off, is keep raising those rates up, or eventually you can't afford to keep it. And that's what they're doing all over the country. What's the second plank of the Communist Manifesto? A heavy, progressive, and graduated income tax. Well, we've had that for 100 years. What's plank number three? Abolition of all rights of inheritance. That's estate taxes and death tax. And the Biden administration has talked about getting that to 100%. Or when you die, you're not allowed to pass any wealth to your children. You don't have a right to dictate where your money goes. The collective needs that money to survive. That's not fair. It's not equitable because other people aren't going to get an inheritance. So why should your children get an inheritance? I'm telling you, it's right where we're going right now. The fact there's even taxes, estate taxes, is crazy. They have no right. You've already paid taxes on that money. But no, if you're going to try to give it to your children, you've got to pay these huge taxes. Number four, confiscation of property of all rebels. Now, this is interesting because this is where we are right now. This is where George W. Bush took us with the Patriot Act, is if you're classified a terrorist or a domestic terrorist, like everyone that voted for Trump, you have no constitutional rights. None. I mean, that's where we are. Back in 1997, they passed the Crime Terrorist Bill. This was before September 11th. And it called for the imprisonment of terrorists, but also those who speak against the government. I wonder who pushed that bill forward. Senator John McCain. Oh, he was on our side. He was a great patriot. He was an evil, corrupt, treasonous person. And so in that bill from 1997, it even says that ultimately the president is able to dictate who he feels is a threat to the institutions in the country or the citizens of the country or the military, and you can confiscate their property and things from doing that. Well, that's one of the planks of the Communist Manifesto. Number five, centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank. Plank five, Federal Reserve. We're there. All banks do as they're told by the Federal Reserve because they know when they're careless with their money and they lose it, they'll be bailed out if they've gone along to get along. And that's where we are today. And now as we transition to this digital token that they're coming up with right now, that will eliminate you being able to have your wealth in anything else. Because once you get the digital token, those of you that like gold and silver and things like that, they'll see if you're spending it on that type of thing. And they'll say, oh, no, you've already bought some gold and silver. You can't buy any more of that. They'll be able to program it where you can only buy what they tell you you can buy. And it'll be based on your carbon footprint tremendously, that they're setting that system up, that credit score system like China has. So then they make you spend your money where they want you to. You have no control over that. And this is all starting right now. This isn't, 50 years from now or someday. The sixth plank is centralization of the means of communication and transportation in the hands of the state. The FAA, the FCC, the ICC, and all the other government regulatory agencies. In what we just saw recently, the FBI telling even independent companies, you have to censor this type of information. You have to censor these people. The COVID lockdowns, and on it goes. They are slowly gathering all communication into their hands. They're going to classify it as mis and disinformation that is dangerous. It's going to cost people their life if they listen to you, so you must be censored. So we're right there. Plank number 7, extension of factories and instruments of production owned by the state. We already have that because we're moving really into a fascist future, because the communists learned from the Soviet Union, we're not good at running businesses, so instead we're going to have the big government we control just get along with big business, so they'll keep funding big government, and we'll do it that way. But big business does exactly what government says, because they want the friendly regulations, the friendly laws being passed that squelch all competition, and so we really have that one as well. The 8th plank, equal obligation of all to work. Now, what's interesting about that is the way they've worked toward that is with high inflation and high taxes, it has slowly forced most families to have where the man and the woman are working, so they get the kids, just to make ends meet, because it's so rotten and corrupt. But we're entering a different phase right now because of artificial intelligence and robotics. The elites realize now we don't even need the people anymore. Machines are going to be able to make for us the things we want and everything. And so man is slowly becoming obsolete. And because of that, they're just wanting to pay man to exist. They're all almost doing the opposite of that right now, because it fits into their strategy. They're encouraging people not to work by giving them government handouts, because they want them dependent on the government till the government can grow big enough or has control of everything. And then, of course, those payments will be stopped to anyone that doesn't go along to get along. And I feel at some point down the road, they'll be stopped to everyone that isn't specifically doing some job necessary to their happiness and their nice life. Because why pay people to exist when you don't need to? They won't. Life has no value in their playbook, and we see that. Plank number 9, almost done, but this is so important because this is where all these things are fitting together exactly into what's happening. Plank number 9, gradually abolish the distinction between towns and countries to a more equitable distribution of the population over the country. So open borders fits into that. Building codes are fitting into that. In California right now, it's almost impossible to get a permit to build a single family dwelling, only multifamily dwellings. So they are slowly setting up things in an equitable way from their point of view. It also means this: in all new developments, they're really working toward this. In every single community, like if you're building a new neighborhood, inside of that neighborhood has to be every economic class where they can fit into that. So if there's real poor people, you need some government housing in every neighborhood. And then up the line, little teeny houses, a little bigger, and then the big, big houses for the wealthier people. But where they're all in the same neighborhood, because it's not equitable for everyone not have to live together. It's not fair rich people can move out into the country on their own property and build a nice house if they want to and live a different life than the guy that's living in the inner city amidst the crime and corruption. They said that's not fair. Everyone's got to live in the crime and corruption. And the United Nations through Agenda 21 from 30 years ago wrote all about this. Agenda 2030 talks all about this in detail. That's the goal. And then lastly, plank number 10 of the Communist Manifesto. Free education for all children in government schools. Communists knew the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And so did the Democrats, most of which are Marxist. But I'm going to play a couple clips real quickly from the movies I made. This first 2-minute clip is from Agenda, Grinding America Down. I made this film 12 years ago, but saw this is why our country is collapsing. But watch this clip.
Children are always the first targets of anybody trying to bring down a system.
John Dewey is believed to be the most influential man in the whole area of public education.
He went to Russia in 1928 to help study the Karl Marx way of education, bring it back to America.
Dewey was an atheist. He was a socialist, a humanist.
He was part of the Socialist Society in America, helped found that.
What he believed in was that education should socialize the child to make him a willing tool of the state.
It might be surprising to some that the man who is still idolized as the father of public education in America is the very man who did everything in his power to dumb down our children so that they would willingly accept his vision of a socialist America.
It started with Dewey in the early 1900s. It expanded, really expanded since the 1960s. The hard left gets control of the teachers' unions and the training colleges. If you've got those two institutions, you can pretty much dictate all educational policy.
The people who were demonstrating against our country and against our government in the 1960s have now become tenured professors in the universities. So they're the ones who are writing the textbooks, teaching the teachers, running the teachers' colleges.
And it's self-perpetuating, because once you have the universities, then you train more cadres and more and more and more.
And they discovered that they could do more to remake our country by going into the schools than they could by throwing bombs.
That's just a short clip to show this has been going on for over 100 years, and most people are not aware of it. Now here's a short clip from Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit on Education. This film I made in 2016, and it shows where the future lies, why they're directing the kids the way they are to do what we were talking about for world government. That's the bottom line.
If you look at how do you change society, well, one of the things you obviously do is you go after the next generation. And you do that through the education system, and that's exactly what has happened to us. The Marxist movement in America has done exactly that.
The education system establishes the direction for the future. It sets the hearts and the minds, the perspectives of the next generation. Everybody knows how important it is.
They know that if they can get control of our children and they can pump their ideology into these young, hungry brains, they virtually can have them captive as prisoners for life.
And you're doing it all under the banner of being internationally competitive, or college ready, or career ready. So the euphemisms hide the actual intent.
The father of global education, Robert Mueller, was the Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations and the creator of the World Core Curriculum. He said the goal was, quote, to promote growth of the group idea so that group good, group understanding, group interrelations, and group goodwill will lead to group consciousness, unquote. His World Core curriculum was pushed in America by George Bush Sr. as America 2000, which was renamed by Bill Clinton Goals 2000, which was then given a facelift to become George Bush Jr.'s No Child Left Behind, which was the driving force behind Barack Obama's Common Core. It's all the same thing, Republican or Democrat, progressing down the same road of complete brainwashing. Since John Dewey, the entire focus of education by the elites has been to, as quickly as possible, move the children to a collectivist mindset. The 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto states, provide a free education by the state for all children and to combine education with industrial production. Bill Gates has teamed up with the United Nations to build the model that will have our school simply be a tax-paid training ground for corporate America.
In the end, most of this tracks back to people who would benefit financially from a more government-centric economy because they're at table. They're already political players. They don't want to worry about competition.
Not only is competition eliminated, but employees are created. The type that would be content to work 60 or 70 hours a week in a dead-end corporate job that just paid enough to survive. Traditionally, Americans would have had no interest in that. They would have wanted to use all the individual talents and abilities that God had given them. They wanted to do 100 different things in their life, invent things, start new businesses, change the world. And the elites didn't want any of that, so it had to be destroyed.
It's like we're going after Marx's vision and at the same time making it impossible as well, because the mind arson necessary to get an amenable voter means that the wealth that you're planning on redistributing is really gone. You just don't know it yet.
Just as I was beginning to dig in, I realized I was making a big mistake. The temptation on all these different issues is to not accept the reality of how things really are. The bottom line is, our enemies are in control of the schools, so there is no fix. I know you don't want to hear that because I don't want to hear that, but it's true. They want our kids to be useful idiots. They want them to be dependent on the state. That's the goal of the whole thing. So they will repackage, rename, rebrand the same old thing over and over again. It is intentionally going downhill. We have to grasp this. It is purposeful. We legitimize them by acting like they just don't have a good idea and we have a better one. They know exactly what they are doing. They want to create a new world man that is dependent on government for his very existence. So to even talk about Common Core, debating its good points or bad points, is playing into their plan of sidetracking all of our energies and efforts on a dead-end road. Even without Common Core, the schools are completely bankrupt and destroying our children. We have seen a decline now for 70 straight years without any interruption. As long as the government has a monopoly in education, we will keep getting what we have.
And the end result is to make our children and those educated under this influence, to make them unfit to govern themselves.
I think a lot of us are prone to believe that election fraud or corruption is something new, just in the last couple election cycles. But as you dig in and study it, that's not the case. Back in 1948, Lyndon Johnson won his first bid for the United States Senate in a totally corrupt election. And the guy that was involved in the corruption then in the 70s, 30 years later, before he died, he goes, I want to make the record straight. Here's what happened. It was totally stolen. That's back in 1948. The Democrat machine, even back then, was corrupting elections. I think another example is the 2000 election. I really believe that George W. Bush probably lost the election, but they gave it to him. And I know you would say, why would they give it to a Republican? Because it wasn't just any Republican. It was an establishment Republican, and they had already written, before he was elected, they'd already written the Patriot Act. And they know, both sides know, if you want to pass something that's really gobbling up constitutional freedoms and things, a Republican is the one that needs to do that. Now, if a Clinton would have tried to pass the Patriot Act, there would have been such a backlash, he wouldn't have had a chance of getting that through. But they know, no, let's get a Bush in there. They trust the Bush family, and we'll get him to push this. So So probably Gore actually won the election in Florida. And I'm not sure about that. I don't have evidence, but I know they needed a Republican in there to keep the game going, because it had been Republican and then Democrat. Now it's turned for Republican again. But also because they knew, we've got this piece of legislation that is fundamentally going to transform America. And it's going to be called anti-American and everything else. So we need someone the people think is patriotic, the people think is pro-American, to push it so they'll blindly say, yes, the Patriot Act, amen. And that's exactly what happened. Almost all the Republicans voted for it. There was more Democrats that voted against it than Republicans. Why? Because a Republican president was pushing it. And so that's what happens. But since we didn't correct 2020 and the obvious fraud and the obvious just crazy things that happened in so many different swing states, we just saw the same thing again. And we've talked about that, but I want to remind you of a couple of things. Trump said he's going to run this week, and that's great. Those of you that like Trump, I think he was a great president that did more for our country than any president in a long, long, long time. But the reality, as we just saw from the 2022 election, he has no chance of being elected. None of them do, unless they're a hardened establishment Republican. It's never going to happen again. A Romney might be able to get elected. Liz Cheney might be able to get elected, not by us, but by the system. But anyone conservative, they're not playing that game anymore of going back and forth. And I know that's sobering and discouraging, but it's true. Because of what I said last week, all it takes to win a presidential election is just a few of the swing states to be corrupted by corrupting just a few of the counties in those swing states. That's all you need. Three or four states, a few counties in those states. And we've seen from this election, they have that. Georgia, totally corrupted. Michigan, totally corrupted. Pennsylvania, totally corrupted. Arizona, totally corrupted. Nevada, totally corrupted. Well, just those states, you don't even need all those states to be corrupted. And you're guaranteed the presidency. They don't mind shuffling around a few House seats or Senate seats, mainly House seats. The Senate, they want to hold onto that for power. And those elections are much easier to corrupt because they're statewide races. Congressional seats are much harder to manipulate because it's all these little towns in these counties and in these districts. And so it's harder to have a machine that can corrupt that whole thing, unless there is a big city inside of that district. But the Senate is a whole state, so you just corrupt the biggest city in that state, which has the population to override everybody else, and you've got it made. But that's where we are. I was so hopeful in Arizona that Carrie Lake was going to win the governor's race. It was clear the people loved her. She was sharp and articulate and had been there where she knew the people. And Katie Hobbs was just an imbecile that didn't campaign, wouldn't debate her, did nothing because she knew that she had the machine behind her. Maricopa County itself was something they knew they had corrupted. Here's a quick clip. Watch this clip. It's just a short clip, but this is from one Dropbox at one location in one county in Arizona, and look what the guy filming it sees just in a couple minutes period of time. Did you see that? Just a few people right there caught on camera, and the film goes on for a long time showing so many people doing that. But they're all having, they have stacks of ballots they're putting in there, one after another. It was totally corrupt, obviously. And here's some reasons we know it was corrupt, because everyone that was Republican was totally behind Carrie Lake. They loved her. And yet you look at different races, the down ballot races, Republicans won most everything. And even the Republican treasurer, okay, that's not a very popular position. They got more votes than she got running for governor. Well, that's not the way it works. So a lot of people that voted for the treasurer, the Republican, didn't vote for the Republican governor. No, it's rotten. And so you see it's rotten. But here's where things stand. And again, it's important to be aware of reality. Doesn't mean we don't work toward elections or vote. Of course we do. But I think things have changed now, because if they got away with it two elections in a row, there's no reason they're not going to get away with it the next one, because nothing changed the last 2 years. So why do we think it's all of a sudden going to change now? It's not. But here is what they have done. Once you get the children in the educational system and you get elections, the game's really over. Why? The children are the future. So you control the future when you're the one raising the children. And elections, if you control the elections, you control today, the present. Well, if you control the present and the future, game's over. It just is, in the idea that elections are going to be your saving grace or something. They're not. So knowing that, it means we have to double down our efforts, local, family, church, community, separate systems where we have our own things set up, trying to become as independent as possible. We need to be sharing the gospel. Those of you that are Christians, you have to be doing that, because that is something that creates a new creation where they're no longer spiritually blind and they can see the truth. We have to get the children out of the schools. You cannot allow the enemy to raise your children and think everything's going to be okay. It's not. I got an email this week, and I want to address it right here. As you know, I've tried to be very careful when I put other videos and things up by saying, in doing so, I don't condone every single thing this person has ever said, because I probably don't even know everything they've said. All I'm promoting is this individual video and some of the content of it that was very interesting or informative. And so many times I've made the point of saying, this isn't a Christian person. And what I mean by that is, don't take spiritual lessons from them. Don't listen for that reason. That's not why I'm putting them up there. I'm putting them up there for you to listen to, because they have studied something and they really understand it well. Well, so I've tried to walk that tightrope. When I didn't do that, Christian people would email me and say, why are you promoting this person? And I would say, oh, I'm not. They had a good point in this area. I love to learn to be wise. And so I want to learn from everyone, everything that I can. But then, so this week, I just said on the Glenn Beck video, he was interviewing Whitney Webb, and it was an incredible video. If you haven't watched it, I encourage you to, because they just shared some things I've never quite heard put that way before that were very educational. But I just said, remember, the people in the video, they're not Christians. And one of my Mormon friends got mad at that and said, why'd you say he wasn't a Christian? And so I want to address that here. Even in that video, what Glenn Beck said and what Whitney Webb said about God, it barely came up for a minute, was crazy. It wasn't Christian. They were both talking about God being some force out there in the universe governing things. That's not what the biblical God is. The biblical God is Jesus Christ. And my Mormon friends, I lived in Idaho for 17 years, where the Mormon missionaries would come by my house regularly. And so I really studied Mormonism because I wanted to be able to talk to them and understand, what do they believe? Here's the problem. They use Christian terminology. but it means different things. And for the sweet lady that sent me this email, I just want to tell you, I cannot say Glenn Beck is a Christian when he tells me he's a member of the LDS Church and he's a Mormon. And no one in all Christianity, it's not me, no one in Christianity would say, oh yeah, Mormonism is part of biblical Christianity. No one would say that. So that's not me saying that. It's just the way it is. I've debated and gone out to lunch with so many of my Mormon friends when I lived in Idaho. And we never came to agreement on things because the Book of Mormon has added to the Holy Scriptures, the Holy Bible, which the Bible says, don't ever do that. And anyone that does is apostate. Okay, so, and then you talk about, and the missionaries talk about Jesus Christ, but it's not the Jesus Christ that we talk about. Your God has the same name, but it's not the same person. And the reason why I'm telling you this is not to cause conflict, it's just, I love you. And your $5 a month means nothing to me compared to your soul and who you are. And I have to speak truth. That's all a Christian is about, speaking truth in love and very lovingly. But I encourage you, all the Mormon friends that are watching this, go read the Holy Bible, Genesis to Revelation, and you will see that the God, the principles presented in the Holy Bible are different. If you look at all the different sources, the Pearl of Great Price and the different books that make up the Mormon religion, you'll see there's tremendous contradiction. It is not the same thing. It sounds the same on the surface, but as you dig in, it is not. And I love you, and I appreciate you watching these things and wanting to learn. I appreciate many things about my Mormon friends, of their focus on family and being prepared and different things, but I can never, ever say, oh yes, you're the same as Christianity, because I don't believe in my heart that you are. The Jesus of Mormonism, if you study Mormonism, is not the Jesus of the Bible, who is eternal. He had no beginning. He has no end. He is the one that created everything that exists. And in Mormonism, he had a beginning. His brother was Lucifer, and he is not the creator of all that exists. God the Father in that religion is, but the Bible tells us different than that. So anyway, not to cause conflict, but I wanted to address it because I care about you. And the $5 subscription, that doesn't mean anything compared to your soul and you studying to have a real hope in a real God. And so anyway, I know that's going to cost me in some areas, but it's okay. I really care about you too much to not speak what I believe is the truth. And all you that are Christians out there, you need to be speaking truth right where you are, to your neighbors, to your friends, to people in your neighborhood. America will never be great again until America is good. And what I mean by good is till it is righteous. And Alexis de Tocqueville told us that 200 years ago. The only reason America was great is because she was good. If she ever ceases to be good, and he meant righteous, she will cease to be great. And that's what we're living through right now. But I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you being there. And we are in a fix, but that's a great place to be as a Christian. God loves coming through in the fix. When you're up against the Red Sea and you realize there's nothing I can do, and the armies are rolling over the hill toward us, what do we do? Well, we cry out to God, and we live in such a way that he listens to our prayers attentively like a loving father, because we are pleasing him in what we say and do. I hope this was helpful. I know I covered a lot of different things, but I appreciate you being there. Thanks again for watching, and until next week, God bless you.